Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've been down so long it look like up to me. They look up to me. I got fake people showing fake love to me. Straight up to my face. Straight up to my face. I've been down so long, it look like up to me. They look up to me. I got fake people showing fake love to me. Straight up to my face. Straight up to my face.
Good evening. This is Lauren P. Razor. And welcome to, I guess, May 4th, 2017. It is a wonderful day today. I am an attorney. My name is Lauren Razor, and we will be talking about various issues that hopefully will uplift you, educate you, and also provide you with great information that you can take home to your family. This evening, I just want to take a look at some of the things that are pretty much on the minds of a lot of people out there today. There's a jurist tonight. There's a jurist by the name of the former appellate division, which I've been before her, and it's the Honorable Sheila Abdul Salam. She is a wonderful woman. I hope she finds peace. Rest in peace. And a brilliant person. And a just genuinely a decent individual. And as you probably know, a month earlier, on April 12th, she was found. I believe she was found at Riverbank Park. And she was found dead on that particular day. And, of course, there have been a lot of things that have been said about her death. My understanding is her husband is saying it's absolutely not a suicide. They don't know how her body was recovered from, I guess it was the Hudson River. And they're indicating there's no evidence of foul play. And that the family is adamant that there was, in fact, no suicide. She was the first African-American woman to serve on the state's highest court. And they say she had struggled with depression, according to some friends, but we certainly don't want to spread rumors. I just want to make sure that I acknowledge that this was an individual who was very professional. We have so many judges that tend to think that they were lowered from the bench from high up, but she was a down-to-earth individual, and that's basically all we can say. So if she was suffering, and that's something that we all have to talk about, particularly in the Black community, and Terry Williams has discussed it, and we'll have that as a part of our show and part of the radio blog. We'll talk about this is a, that, and I always say untreated, it can not to say that it's happened to Judge Salam, but untreatable depression can lead to suicide. And that's clear. And sometimes our people don't recognize that it's really depression. It's not one of those days where you say, oh, I feel depressed, and it's more clinical. It's more, it is an illness. It is a mental illness that must be taken seriously If not, then people will, in fact, have suicide ideations with a level of depression that comes hand and can come hand in hand. I'm not a doctor, and that's not really what, you know, we're about, what we're talking about tonight. But the most important thing is that she's at peace. I pray that, you know, that her family can have some level of privacy so that she can rest in peace. She will be missed. She had the sense of street smarts. She lived in Harlem. She was about the people. And pretty much, you know, there'll be an emptiness in terms of her not being on the bench. So peace, Judge Abdul Salam. And, you know, we hope for the best for our family. So pretty much, you know, we're May 1st was Law Day. May 1st is which many jurists and judges have programs about Law Day. Oftentimes judges will and lawyers will speak at various churches to talk about celebrating Law Day. Oftentimes it is a day. It was proclaimed, according to Wikipedia, May 1st, the United States officially recognized Law Day. It meant to reflect on the role of law in the foundation of the country and to recognize its importance, our society, to recognize how the law affected each and every individual. So it is a day in which we celebrate the legal community oftentimes. And it was back in, just say, the trivia part of it, President Eisenhower, back in 1958, proclaims Law Day. And to honor the role of law in the creation of the United States. And there was a resolution that was passed. And pretty much that's where the Law Day came about. A national day to set aside to celebrate the rule of law. Law Day underscores how law and the legal profession have contributed to the freedoms that all Americans share. Special day of celebration. Well, it seems like based on everything that's happening, we're actually not celebrating the rule of law. Pretty much we're going backwards in terms of celebrating the importance of great liberty and liberty for all. So maybe this day will give all of us a wake-up call and to understand with a pen, one can actually undo a lot of legislation that was there to protect the American citizens and various laws that were put in place to protect the American citizen. Today was a very good day. You know, as I think about the case that I'm on, I have been with my colleague, Pam D. Hayes, a brilliant sister who has, I've never seen someone committed to the rights of individuals and to the liberty of individuals. You know, I have proclaimed myself as a strong Black woman, and I have to give myself that title, and I have embraced it. Before I walked away from it, I said I'm not as tough as everybody wants me to be, but I am a strong, and I have strength. And I have strength that I really didn't know that I'd had. But my sister, Pamela Hayes, she is an amazing person to work with, a fighter for those who need to have fights, and a supporter of those who get weary during the struggle and during the fight. And I can tell you it has been a great pleasure to work with her and to see that each and every day when we're in the courtroom together, we're fighting for the life, not just for justice of this young man that we represent, but we've never, you know, some lawyers, not all of them are committed. Some lawyers are not, they take shortcuts. And, you know, and I have to say, I sometimes complain that I'm working so hard. People who want to see me can't see me because I'm telling them that I'm engaged in this long trial. Now, I've been on this trial since it's now going into the fourth week. I will probably be on this trial for another 2 weeks. The reason why we have been on the trial did not start. We gave our opening statement this morning. And our opening statement, I gave the opening statement for this jury. You know, there's always a reason why, you know, when you, and I talk about this because it really happens. We're in White Plains and we have a miraculous jury. We struggled hard and, you know, I was complaining about how painful the people I can't see, the people I, you know, I have to sacrifice. I can't go out. I can't do the things that, you know, I want to do during this time because I'm on this trial like every day, including managing a different part of my business. I am, you know, very, it's been very difficult. But as I got up today and I drove to the courthouse, I said, I can't help it. And I have to come to grips with my reality that I am a soldier in this fight for liberty. I am a soldier in this fight for justice. And I am a soldier in this fight for what is right. You know, and as I'm on my way to the courthouse, I, you know, was thinking, you know, and this segues into an issue that came up during trial, although I'm not specifically talking about, we're looking at what the cases say on these issues, and I'm not specifically talking about rulings by the court and which way they rule. But, you know, as I'm going to the court, I'm thinking of the closing argument. And I'm thinking of, you know, rap lyrics because there's an issue of rap that has surfaced in the case and in the trial. And what I could talk about is there is a case in Brooklyn that came out regarding a rap artist and killer rap lyrics was used in a criminal trial. There was a case in New Jersey in which the rap lyrics was used in a criminal trial. That is what the prosecution in many criminal cases involving alleged gang activity or whatever, it is utilizing what is stated in rap music. So one of the topics this evening is rap music on trial. And it's a fascinating subject that has not caught on to the extent that it's understood that you can be held accountable for your rap lyrics if potentially if potentially there's violence and there can be consequences that if your rap music is boasting about violence and boasting about threatening witnesses and they have a case, and I'm just looking at it, it came up in Brooklyn, or I'm sorry, it was a New York case. and it involved a Brooklyn federal jury that convicted a person by the name of Ronald Rod Diggs Heron, 32-year-old. One of the prosecutor used Mr. Heron's gangster rap video, in which he boasts about belonging to the infamous Blood Street Gang, firing weapons and dealing drugs, to argue the lyrics documented the crimes. So, the defendant was accused, New York City gang member, and was found guilty of a slew of violent crimes, including three murders, at trial, in which he boasts during graphic rap lyrics were used as evidence against him. Now, the lawyers are, and this was a case, Loretta Lynch was the attorney general under former President Barack Obama, and she actually indicated that Mr. Heron's lyrics used the lyrics to glorify his criminal lifestyle. That's one of the cases. I can't take a position at this time on whether I agree or disagree. I am representing a defendant in a case in which is rap lyrics are the subject of what may be introduced against the defendant and tying it into his behavior. So I'm actually in the middle of a trial in which the issues of rap lyrics, and particularly gangster rap lyrics, are being used at trial. Now, I think this is not the first time lyrics or artwork has been used in a case. Now, in that, but just getting back to the case of Ronald Rod Diggs, he styled himself as a rap artist, but the jury's verdict makes it clear who Heron really is. He was a drug dealer, a murderer, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So they basically indicated that, the jurors indicated that, you know, you may say you're a rap artist all you want, but if your lyrics are gangster and people die as a, you know, result, and the prosecution can tie that into criminal behavior, then we're talking about utilizing lyrics, pretty much utilizing lyrics, particularly gangster rap lyrics, in order to utilize it against defendants in criminal prosecutions. This is real. The American Civil Liberties Union has now said there are about 18 cases nationwide in which rap lyrics have been introduced to help convict defendants. And any of you have comments about that, you can certainly put it on Facebook. It is a fact. It is a legal principle. I believe it's case specific. And, you know, pretty much that is one of the ways in which the prosecution can tie the defendant into criminal behavior. I believe there was a Charles Manson, and I believe he had lyrics also in his, but his was rock music, and pretty much he used various writings on the wall. And, you know, which talked a little bit about what he was pretty much talking about in his lyrics. So that's another aspect of, I remember in that case, it was certainly, you know, it was certainly utilized against him also. I believe it was Helter Skelter. And so this is not, it's not the first time it's being used, but it's more prevalent now. So the court's question is, are there constitutional rights are being violated by not allowing the artist? They call themselves rap artists. So if you're rapping about gangster rap, which is it an art form, or is it a death threat to someone if you say, you know, this is what happens to snitches, and this is what you're talking about? Is it fair that it can be used against you? God forbid you're involved or accused of a particular crime. Can they now, oh, by the way, they go to your YouTube video. I learned so much about Intel. Let me just say this. There's no question about it. I remember I said something plenty of trial. I said, if I wear this T-shirt, and this T-shirt, you believe I'm part of a gang, would you, in fact, you know, will I be under surveillance? The witness was incredibly quiet. So you don't know. Facebook, they can look at your Facebook. And, you know, intelligence means that they will go back in time and they can monitor your Facebook with a court directive or without a court directive. All they have to do is be a friend on your page. So, you know, these are all of the scary things about, even if they don't bring up something immediately, they can monitor your page. And if, you know, you're saying F the government and F the police and all of this stuff on your Facebook page, potentially you have to be careful because it can be looked upon as if it's a terrorist act or something to that effect. So they do monitor. You have intelligence that monitors Facebook pages, and that's what they do. Now, whether it is a something that's sanctioned by the government, I can't say. I don't really know. It's just that you have to be careful about your Facebook page. But getting back to what's going on in the gangster world, in the gangster rap world, that is pretty critical because you're encouraged to be. So there is a gentleman by the name out there called AJ Woodson, and he is a person that has a newspaper magazine online, which is called Black Westchester. He's a very interesting individual. He's had a rap career, and he was brought in by the defendants, myself, to explain to the court the significance of gangster rap and that it's an art form of braggadocious and that they do ciphers and rap battles, and the more provocative they are, the better they are. And we really love what his explanation is. And, you know, he was talking about how it's the only genre in which something that may not be reality or nothing may be true as to what the rapper is saying, but it can also be looked upon as some level of violent behavior. I remember asking the question. Of course, you had the Robert De Niro characters that were always shooting and killing people. You had Guns N' Roses. I mean, did anyone think that, you know, they should do search warrants because they really believe Guns N' Roses had guns and roses? You had Eminem, and I listened to some of his lyrics, and I know that he had domestic violence issues, whether real or imagined, with his mother. I'm sure in his music, some of his lyrics are pretty scary, particularly pertaining to his mom. And those are the, you know, those are some of the things that we have to look at when it comes to gangster rap lyrics. Facebook, Instagram, all of that will come in. Your text messages, one has to be careful of what it is you're texting to people. And you have to be very careful about your texting and the things that you're doing out there in terms of social media. So, you know, we have to be educated on how social media is being used. If someone commits a crime and they become your friend, if somebody commits a crime and is a friend of yours on Facebook, you may become a witness to what's going on, and even though you don't even know that person, they just said friends, and you're not really friends, but that person has done something wrong, it's a possibility that they can look at your page to see your connection to that individual. So between the new case law that's emerging about rap music, there is the other side of it in terms of the constitutional aspect of it. But it's something that should be thought about, and I guess it's a question of kind of like where we're going from here. You know, the Met Gala, these things are just, you know, just a segue for a second. I mean, I'm watching people and what they're dressing. I mean, you know, Rihanna, what did she have on? Some sort of red feathered, her shoes with the red straps hat, it was about $850. You know, I don't know what that outfit was, but you know, this is just a basic comment. The Met Gala, that was last week and or earlier this week, and it was interesting. But we'll pick this up next week. I'm hopeful and grateful that I'm here today. My footsteps are ordered, and I will continue to provide education, uplifting information for you and your family. Have a blessed week, and make sure you tune in next week for more information. Have a nice week.